Morning. That's exactly what I plan on doing this morning, tell you more about Jesus. Because that's one that we can't do enough of. No matter how hard we try, and I hope everybody tried this past week. Have you ever been mad at someone? Maybe you're mad at that person now. We say as a parent, when you're mad at a child, I didn't bring you into this world to treat me like this. Or a husband, you know, a wife, or, you know, to our spouse, you know, I didn't marry you to treat me like this right here. Or a co-worker, I didn't hire you. I mean, it could go right on. The point is, I'm mad. Well, you know, God didn't create us to turn our backs on Him. So this morning's lesson, I want you to think about yourself. But I want to think about your relationship with God. It's only probably 20 minutes. Surely we can give 20 minutes of thinking of nothing but our relationship with God. Throughout the Bible is full of people that in my way of thinking, God should have struck him down right then, you know, instead of trying to save him and all. I mean, like Saul, road to Damascus. He was there to kill Christians. He was there to destroy God's people. So why would God want to spend his time, his energy, let his son die for that person? Because through that person, God seen good. And he seen a lot of souls that were saved because of God got that person's attention and they realized it. We see a story about the prodigal son. The father knew he was going to mess up, but he let him go. This morning, I want to talk to you about Jonah. Jonah's a great story. But it's not just there for our entertainment. The first chapter of Jonah tells about a wayward prophet. Jonah was told to go and preach in Nineveh. I'm going to, if you would, excuse me, I'm going to grab the other Bible. Well, you'd see me reading it out of a Bible instead of all pronouns. Thank you. You would turn with me to Jonah. That was already messing with me. I had everything marked in the other Bible and got it all messed up. Anyway, we talked about this morning. That's what the devil does. He uses every opportunity to get with us. And we know from the story of Jonah that God had told him to go to Nineveh and to preach. Jonah didn't want to do that. He turned his back on God. He wanted to go out into the world and do his own thing. Matter of fact, he had went completely. This is not my Bible. It's sticking together. Anyway, we see that Jonah had turned his back and he decided to quit being God's prophet and take the passage to Tarshish rather than going to Nineveh, the opposite direction than what God told him to. How many times have we done that? We know what God wants us to do, but yet we turn our back on God and do what we want to do. Jonah's stubbornness was so great that he tells the sailors to, in chapter 2, to cast him into the raging sea just to preserve the crew and the ship. He refuses to turn back to God. He refuses to pray for forgiveness. He refuses to ask the captain to turn the ship back to Joppa. He would rather drown than do any of these things. Now the last verse of chapter 1 and the whole chapter 2 present two amazing events. Verse 17 records the first stunning development. The Lord appoints a great fish to swallow Jonah. Now it's important for us to think about this and to look at it and to see, because that it's important to notice that a great fish does not by random swallow Jonah. It wasn't just random fish swimming by swallowed him. But just as God appointed a storm in his graciousness to try to bring Jonah back from its destruction, so now God appointed a great fish in his graciousness to spare Jonah from death. Many efforts have been tried to prove that it's possible for a human to live inside a fish a few days. Now, in my opinion, these efforts are useless and pointless. The whole point here is that a random fish did not swallow Jonah. All of this was the work of God. God appointed a fish of significant size, and God kept Jonah alive while in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. This event is a miracle, and it's important to classify this event as a miracle. We'll take a look at that later in the lesson. But towards the end of chapter 1, we notice that everyone is praying to their gods except Jonah. Jonah refuses to pray to God. Then chapter 2 begins with Jonah praying, but notice his location. He is in the belly of the great fish. And that's what I want to look at first this morning. I want to look at Jonah's prayer from the belly of that fish. The prayer begins by recounting what happened once he had been thrown off the ship into the sea. Now verse 3 says that he was cast into the deep, into the heart of the sea. Now visualize here with me, if you will, the progression of Jonah as he's struggling in the sea. We can see Jonah on the surface of the water being battered by the waves. Verse 5 reveals Jonah sinking into the deep. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Chapter 2, verse 5. Now, as Jonah is sinking into these seaweeds, seem to wrap around his head, and he's engulfed by the waters. Then in verse 6, Jonah reaches the bottom of the ocean, the sea floor. He is at the root of the mountains and describes the sandbars as bars of a prison closing in on him. Finally, in verse 7, Jonah is drowning. His life is fading away. In our way of thinking, human way, he's about to die. We see in chapter 2, verse 4, a lesson we can learn from this belly of this great fish is seek the Lord. And that's what each and every one of us has got to do today as we examine our relationship with God. If we're not where we need to be with God this morning, we need to seek the Lord. We can say, well, in the morning, I'm going to get up and go to work. That's okay. Because it really don't matter anything to your soul, your salvation, if you get up and go to make it to work in the morning. But if we say that I'm going to get my life right with God, I'm going to pray and ask for forgiveness of my sins in the morning. If we don't wake up in the morning, then that does have a lot of impact on our lives. We have to get our life right with God while we still have a chance, while we're still breathing. Now, sitting in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights causes Jonah to finally get it. As the little cartoon shows, the light bulb clicks on and he has a dramatic turn. Just like that prodigal son, he realizes he's struck bottom. Now, in verse 4, Jonah decides that he will look again to God's holy temple. Jonah is not expressing a confidence that he's going to live through this and will go to Jerusalem and see the physical structure of the temple again at some point. But now turning towards the temple was an expression used to speak of a person turning toward the Lord, praying to the Lord, and seeking the favor of the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 8 and 44. What Jonah is concluding is that he will seek the Lord. Jonah was unwilling to do this on the boat. But now after his near-death experience, and now sitting in the belly of the fish, Jonah realized that he must seek the Lord. Jonah is the one who ran from the Lord and did not want to have a relationship with God any longer. Now Jonah realizes or recognizes that he has ran from the Lord and he needs a relationship with God. As I said earlier, it goes right along with the prodigal son. Prodigal son, when he gets and spends all of his money and everything, and he gets so low in his life and finds out, then he realizes he's messed up. He's the one that separated himself from his father's house. He needs to come back. What was it that brought Jonah to this point? Verse 2 reveals that Jonah called out to the Lord in his distress. Verse 7 tells us that Jonah remembered the Lord when his life was fading away. Going through a life-changing experience is not going to bring you back to the Lord unless you recognize the distress and the danger you're in spiritually. Jonah understood that he was separated from the Lord. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, chapter 2, verse 4. This is the realization that one must make to experience a true turning point in one's life. Only when we understand the depths of to which we have sunk will we be ready to seek God's help and deliverance. We must see the devastating reality of our spiritual situation before we will seek the Lord. I believe this is an important reason why God is always telling us about our condition without God and what God has done. Have you been thinking about your relationship with God this morning as we've been going through this? Are you realizing that I'm on that bottom? I'm inside that fish's belly. Only way out, the only hope I have is God. How can God help us if we don't draw ourselves close enough back to Him? If we stayed in the first hour, draw nigh to God and ask Him. You might say, well, God knows everything. He knows what condition I'm in. He knows my needs. As a parent, we see our children's needs. We know what each and one of our child needs. Did we just jump out and do it, or do we wait for them to come and ask us? Because we can stop and think, if I jump out and help them as a parent and draw them out of whatever they're in, they get back on their feet, they're just going to get right back into it. But if we do like the father and prodigal son did, we let them get so low that they really realize I really messed up. If I die in this state, I'm in trouble. Not just for a little while, but for the rest of my life. Then maybe they'll have the right attitude. When you help them out, they'll keep things going to the best that they can. Sometimes it takes a Jonah-like event to wake us up from our spiritual blindness. Sometimes it's a very serious, life-changing event that will rattle our spirituality so that we will consider seeking the Lord. For many, it requires a near-death experience to cause us to reconsider our ways. But I want us to notice an important message. It's not too late to turn back to God. I want you to take that last breath and go on from our human lives. Then is the time that it's too late. I know people will tell you that, oh yeah, you can pray your loved ones out of hell and purgatory, or you can buy their soul back out. No, you can't. If someone tells you that you can buy your loved one's spiritual life, they just after your money. God's word don't tell us that. We have the opportunity right now, if our life's not right with God, to get it straight. Our young people, our children, our grandchildren are in our hands. And it does the heart so good to look out this morning and see so many young children. You know, us adults might be outnumbered with all the children we have here. That's showing growth from within. That's showing that a parent, a grandparent, some loved one cared enough about that child that they brought them. But what do we care about our own souls? The example we're setting for these children. Are we going to have to be like Jonah and take that chance? We're going to do it while we still have a chance with God. Because as I said, it's not too late to come to God. Jonah was utterly rejected God's call. He had rejected God to the point that he would rather die than obey God. And God used a variety of events to try and call Jonah back to a relationship with the Lord. It's not too late for Jonah to return, and it's not too late for either one of us if we have stepped away or need to come to God. It is not a matter of how rebellious I've been. It's not a matter of how bad I've been, how much sin I have committed. It's a matter of how much God loves his people and does not want any of us to suffer eternal punishment. We have our children. We do everything in our power to keep those children safe. God allowed his son to give his life because he loved each and every one of us that much. Jonah recognizes that it's not too late. Even though his life seemed to be passing before his life, he knew that there was still a ray of hope. God's promise of grace remains even though we plunge ourselves into the folly of sin. Jonah had deserted God, but the fact that Jonah had drowned proved that God, the fact that Jonah did not drown proved that God had not deserted him. You know, it would have been, they threw him over, he drowned. People would have said, oh, well, he turned his back on God. Why should God help him? God loves each and every one of us. So we turn our back on him. He's still standing there waiting for us to come back. Chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, you know, it talks about the salvation belongs to the Lord. Once we see our condition, then there is only one place to turn. Salvation is from the Lord. People have so many false notions of how to appeal to their inner sense of conscience. Some try to appease this, that feeling by trying to do good deeds, be spiritual, give money, or some other act. These things are not done to the glory of God, but in an effort to quiet or ease their conscience, to make them feel a little better, that tells them they have done evil and are not righteous. You say, well, I sinned today, so I'm going to go over and do a good deed for someone else where it make me look a little better. It's not going to do it. We have to get forgiveness of our sins. These things that I said are not done, and to glory God, they're just done to ease our conscience. All of our deeds do not negate all the evil or overcome all the evil that we have done. It does not take much life experience to realize that our evil deeds are like a wadded piece of paper. Once we wad that piece of paper up into a ball and throw it down, we cannot open that ball of paper and smooth it out to the same neatness degree that it was when it was new. In the same way, we cannot fully fix what we have said or done to others or what we have done to God. We have offended God, and that cannot be taken back. What has occurred to Jonah is a great metaphor for us in our spiritual condition. What is Jonah going to do? Basically, he was dead in the sea. Only God could save him. You know, we're dead in our sins. Only God can save us. God who has the power to speak to a fish and tell that fish to vomit Jonah on dry land, has the power to save each and every one of us from eternal destruction. We see that Christ is the Savior. We told Matthew 12, 38 and 40. Now, at the beginning of the lesson, I pointed out that we must see the story of Jonah as a miraculous event. In our final minutes, I want us to look at why. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 and 40 tells us that. It talks about, now we see here the sign of Jonah. Tell you what, turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 and 40. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it. But the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The sign of Jonah was an expression used by Jesus to refer to Jonah's 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish, Jonah 1 and 17. The sign is that a place of death had become a place of deliverance. Some of you are probably already on the road that I'm going down with this statement. Already at my point. Because as I said, the sign of Jonah is that a place of death had become a place of deliverance. No one expects a person to survive inside of a fish. Jonah was cast into the sea and did not drown. When Jesus pointed to the sign of Jonah as a sign of his own work, he was pointing out that God is at work to save those who rebel against him. So we're looking at our condition. It don't matter how bad of a person you think you are, our God is there for you. He's waiting with his arms open wide. Now the greatness of the sign is that it symbolized the impossible. What happened to Jonah was not possible in our human eyes. But God delivered Jonah from the belly of the fish after 3 days and 3 nights. Now in the same way, what would happen to Jesus was not possible in our sights. God would deliver Jesus from the belly of the earth after 3 days. 3 nights. Jesus is not merely connecting the time frame, 3 days and 3 nights here. Jesus is connecting the miracle of salvation, deliverance. The place of death had become the place of deliverance. His death is going to bring forth deliverance to the world. Salvation is from the Lord. God has saved the world through his death and rejection of his Son. Now lastly, I want to read to you Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Acts chapter 10, 34 through 43. When he said, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation that he feareth him, and work of righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all of Judea, and began from Galilee after baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of the Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. And we are witnesses of all things which he have did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which have ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. And in verse 43 says, To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. In closing, I hope we're still examining ourselves, still thinking about, this might be my last few minutes. just as God delivered Jonah from the belly of a giant fish, raised Jesus from the belly of the earth, he can and will raise each and every one of us from your death of sin. The question is, what's keeping us from getting our hearts and our souls right with God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you truly believe our Heavenly Father loves? Do you need to be cleansed from your sins through baptism? Or maybe you've already been baptized, but have separated yourself from God. Maybe you're going through a trying, difficult time. Need the prayer and encouragement of the congregation. Whatever your need may be, I encourage you to come forth. Now we stand and sing our song of invitation and decide to follow Jesus.